Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
We're on the road home from the road to Russell. What were we going to call this?
The road home from the road to WrestleMania.
Got a headache yet?
Makes perfect sense, right? Clear as mud.
Clear as dog flashes on a foggy day.
It makes sense if you just don't think about it.
Well, I'm good at that. Yes. So here we are in Turnbuckle Trash. We just left the Maverick Center in West Valley City, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City, if you don't know that.
Over in the rich neighborhood.
West Valley City? We went to a little store, and there was a, I don't know if they were drunk on drugs or whatever. Remember when we were walking to a little store, and that woman was saying, that bullshit, and she got right in my face and called me a blah, blah, blah. I was going, get me out of West Valley City. It's one of the rougher parts of Salt Lake City, is West Valley, by the way. So, anyway, I was ready to get back to Logan.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
Ready, set, wrestle. 1, 2, 3, kick.
Dibs on the red tights. Dibs on the red tights. All right, how about this? Ready, wrestle.
Wait, are we starting now? Or is that what you're going to say when we do start?
We're starting now.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
We actually ran into a couple of people that we're acquainted with from Utah, our UCW Zero. That was a lot of fun. They were out promoting their event coming up in March with Rey Mysterio Jr., coming into Salt Lake City. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
What was the girl's name again? I'm drawing a blank. Excuse me. I'll insert this, what her name is, here.
Paradise is the lady's name. I am so sorry. I have the memory of just of a gnat. So when we get to meet again, Paradise, don't beat me up. Beat up Zane. I'll give you permission for that. But it is Paradise from UCW Zero.
So she was very nice. She seemed to remember seeing us at the last event we went to. And then another small promotion in Salt Lake City called EPW. Saw a couple of people there too. So we love to talk about the indies and also the guys from the smaller promotions too. So it was fun. What did you think about the event? WWE Live.
Oh, what a good time. What a good time. My goodness. What a great roster.
We saw advertisements in Salt Lake on billboards and on the WWE programming, and they all had Brock Lesnar on there. And I told Zayn, I didn't think he was going to be there, and he was.
My goodness. What a surprise to see Brock there.
Yeah, and to see his advocate, Paul Heyman, too. That was That was
pretty sweet.
Yeah, we enjoyed that. And then one of the first matches of the night, we believe it was the first match, was Big Cass and Enzo Amore against Rusev and Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
With the ravishing Russian Lana.
Lana. Yes. If you could have only got her to come soothe your owies.
Only if she could soothe my owie. But have you noticed since Rusev broke his foot, he's been wrestling in boots? Because remember, he had the same he had a broken foot at the same time I did. It was a Jones fracture.
He used to just tape his foot, didn't he?
Yeah, he used to just tape the feet. Then when he came back after the broken foot, he was in wrestling gear. So,
I didn't put two and two together.
Well, I did because we had the same injury. His was mine was probably just because of my stupidity. But anyway. A good match. I mean, Enzo and Big Cass, they know how to work a crowd. That's
boy,
so good.
I'll tell you what. Yep. And so does Lana.
Oh, yeah. And yep. Just the guys were going crazy, a lot of tongue wagging. You were telling me that back in NXT when they were being brought up that a lot of people were worried that Big Cass and Enzo wouldn't be able to work the crowd like they did in NXT. What was going on?
It was a write-up I saw on the old interweb, you know, the World Wide Web.
Uh-huh.
And it was talking about how they were really worried about Enzo and Cass getting called up because they didn't think that their entrance would work, you know, with the larger stage and the larger crowd, and they may have to change up some things, but I didn't see any issue with it.
I remember one time on Raw, that, and I'm trying to say it was Gallows and Anderson that had their mics turned off when they were trying to do their spill in the ring, and the crowd took it over. And that was really, really cool. But it was Kaz and them coming away with the victory. But boy, Jinder Mahal, he is cut now, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's looking good, man. I would like to see them do some more stuff with him. He's a good wrestler.
It's getting late at night, and we're both tired.
Yeah, it is 11 o'clock p.m.
Now,
Mountain Standard Time.
Oh, yeah. So and we're on something called the Legacy Highway right now, getting ready to get back on I-15. But I'll give them a play-by-play where we're at. The second match of the night, I have got to say, I love Neville as a heel. It was a championship match with Neville and Cedric Alexander, and you didn't know Cedric came in from ROH,
No. I'm not real familiar with the Raw roster right now and everything like that.
Well, you were telling me that Neville was a heel when he was in NXT.
Yes,
he used to watch NXT
yes.
a lot.
Yeah. That's why I think I like the current roster right now, is because a lot of the guys on there and the girls that are on there are from NXT about 2 years ago, and a good friend of yours, a friend of the show, Trent Hunsaker, got me turned on to NXT, and I gave it a shot, but I kind of, once all these, the roster right now got called up, I haven't been keeping up as much on it.
Yeah, well, you and I both, you know, think that three-hour show just needs to be cut down to 2 hours, but that's neither here nor there, but we saw couple of tag matches. We saw four championship matches during the night, and I'm telling you, there was just really good action all the way. But I gotta say, the eight-man tag, I got excited when they brought them out, and who was on the good guy side, the face side? That was
Golden Truth,
along with Sin Cara. And Curtis Axel.
Curtis
I haven't
Axel,
seen him in a long time.
I haven't seen him for a while either.
And then they bring out the Primo and Epico and Titus O'Neil, my man Titus, Brown.
Ooh.
I love me some Titus. I got to tell you, I wish they would work him into a little bit better situation. And then somebody I haven't seen on Raw since probably at least 6 weeks ago when he was doing a bit in a sensitivity training. Was Bo Dallas,
yeah,
and the crowd went
just
boring.
Gotta believe.
And believe in Bo. That's what we have to do now. I thought the crowd was really worked up for him when he came out.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was great.
But, I mean, you know, so there's only so much they can do with TV time, and I do wish they would find a way to get Mo going. They were working an angle with him and Curtis Axel, and then it just stopped on TV. I don't know if it's on Main Event or one that's on the network. I'll have to check that out. But Bo Dallas, he's a talent that hasn't seen his real,
you know, real that's surprising because he was NXT champ for a while. You know, so he got a pretty good push there in NXT, and then they brought him up to the main roster, and same thing that happens to everybody. Falls flat.
Yeah, that buried. I know, that seems what happens. They get buried when they come up, at least for a while. I don't know if they're trying to see if they can find their feet, but and then, you know, all the title matches, we saw Charlotte and Bayley start off in a singles match, and then a run-in by Dana Brooks. They stopped that, and then, well, anyway, it turned out to be
a triple tag team.
Yeah, a six-woman tag team match. Nia Jax was there, Sasha Banks, Alicia Fox, and they went against Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Dana Brooks, and that was a fun match.
It's a good match.
The crowd went crazy for Bayley.
And for Sasha, holy crap.
Yeah.
They about blew the roof off that place when they played Sasha Banks' music.
And you know that when Bayley comes in and they do those blow-up figures that dance around with Bayley dancing around, one of them had a problem on the stage. It just went straight up.
Well, I think a lot of things went straight up when Bayley came out.
It was a little blue pill, I think. So, I didn't say that. So, but it was a fun match overall.
Maybe we'll have to attend the Turnbuckle Trash Sensitivity training now.
Well, if they bring Lana in, I'll be right there. Or Bayley. So, we're both happily married men, by the way. But it doesn't stop you from looking. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. But I just thought the entire one match after another was one surprise after another. Brock Lesnar was there against the Big Show.
Yeah, that was the surprise of the night for me. I was like, no way is Brock going to be there.
I thought it was going to be a squash match.
Yeah, sure as the day is long. Here he comes. Here's a intensity. Wow.
And Big Show dominated the first part of the match.
Yeah.
Just completely dominated. And then all of a sudden the F5.
Just mirrors. Big Show looking pretty good, man.
He's lost a lot of weight. I know where I found it for him. Man, he's lost a lot of weight. He's got that big, long beard. He looks good.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not a spring chicken as well, but he still was moving pretty good. And, you know, was throwing Brock Lesnar around like a rag doll for a minute. Brock's not a little guy either.
You made the comment. You whispered in my ear while you were yelling in my ear because it was so loud. But you made the comment about how big the Big Show was compared to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and Brock Lesnar is not a small dude.
So that was a lot of fun when Paul Heyman came out.
Did you see though when he F5'd the Big Show, and still he picked him up like it was nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, what a powerhouse.
He's a beast.
The beast incarnate.
Yeah. But that was fun.
I still hate him. Still hate him.
We booed him.
Yeah.
But you know,
jerk.
I'm not a big Brock Lesnar.
Part-timer.
Woo, yeah. You know what he would say to us? I don't care, I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
He gets paid a lot and he goes home disabled. That was probably the surprise match of the night. They had a three-team tag team for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Good match with Gallows and Anderson, the champions, Cesaro and Sheamus, mm-hmm. and The New Day. Mm-hmm. I got to say this. You and I both said we're getting a little tired of The New Day stick.
Yeah.
They were twin boys. They looked like they were probably, 11 years old. And they were portly. They were big kids, you know. They hadn't missed too many buffets, if you know what I'm talking about. But they were really nice. And one of them had a sign that he made. says, New Day sucks. I pointed out, I said, I agree. He just got the biggest grin on his face. That was during intermission. But the tag match...
You notice the pop that that they got?
They did. They got a huge pop.
Yeah. I'm like, what in the world was that all about? I thought that they were getting booed right now.
But no. I still think they need a heel change real quick. Maybe a short one. But I think the WWE roster, just seeing that the kids love them, you know, that they sell a lot of merchandise. So I think that's probably why they haven't done a complete heel change yet. But Sheamus and Cesaro, man, Cesaro!
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is that man good or what?
Yes.
That's all we can say. Cesaro is one of the best performers.
My goodness. You know, I'd like to see Cesaro go up against some other talent. You know, they seem to put him up against bigger guys and stuff. I'd like to see him go up against somebody like AJ Styles or Seth Rollins or somebody I don't know. The way he moves in the ring is just unbelievable.
He was bouncing off the ropes, going from one rope to another, doing somersaults and incredible moves. And then he got the swing a little bit on Anderson. He only got about 3 revolutions on that one. But
did you see when he... I don't know how to explain it. He had... was it Kofi Kingston in some... Or was it Anderson? He had Anderson in some kind of a DDT. And he hops up on the ropes, runs partially along the ropes, jumps off, turns, and kicks Doc Gallows in the face while giving Anderson a DDT.
Like we said, the man is good.
I was like, what was that? Let's see that in instant replay.
Yes. Can we look at the tape there? I just remember a couple of weeks ago on Raw, when Cesaro came out, you know, they talk about the Cesaro section. Some people had bought an entire row of tickets, and they had signs, and it said, the Cesaro. I love that. So,
Cesaro.
Yeah, the Cesaro.
Because they had the whole room.
Yeah, the whole room. Yeah, put up a bump, you know. When you have to explain the humor, it's not that funny. Wow. Oh, well, what can I say? Let's see, what else did we see tonight? That was just fun.
Well, don't forget the main event of the evening.
Oh, yeah, that was
ladies
fun.
And gentlemen, the main event of the evening is...
Kevin Owens.
Versus none other than...
Sami Zayn!
Yes.
I think I overmodulated that one, so...
No.
Oh, okay. But boy, I love KO and Sami Zayn together. They have such a good chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did some good stuff. Good stuff.
And JoJo almost messed up. She was the ring announcer. She said, and as Commissioner Mick Foley has now proclaimed, this a street fight.
Yes.
And Owens goes crazy and stuff. And it was a street fight. It stayed basically in the ring, a little bit on the floor. There was kendo sticks, there were chairs, and the crowd went bananas for the tables.
The tables.
About 4 tables were destroyed.
Yes.
And eventually, of course, Kevin Owens won the match. And then he grabs the microphone as everybody's leaving, because that's the final match of the evening. And he says, you have just witnessed the Kevin Owens show. And he says, but it's not over. So he attacks Sami Zayn again. Zayn gets up for the comeback and does the, what they call that?
The Hallula kick.
Yeah. So Sami was the last one. And Sami Zayn got a pop. Man, he got a huge pop. Oh, we forgot Braun Strowman. Let's forget.
Who?
No,
we didn't. Yes, we forgot Braun Strowman on purpose.
On the end, at the end of the 8-man tag, he did a run-in. He beats up the good guys, and Curtis Axel lays in the ring while Braun Strowman says, I'm coming after you, Roman Reigns, on Monday Night Raw. And then he walks out. Blah, 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 blah. Wolf, wolf, wolf. I'm a big caveman. Call me Mogad G-Clug. G stands for glug. Mogad G-Clug. I'm not into Strowman. I don't know what it is. I wish he was still with the Wyatt family.
Yes.
But overall, these guys, they know how to put on a show. You got to say that.
Oh, yeah. If you were to give it a rating, what would you say?
You know what? It was Raw quality. Every match was something you could see on Monday Night Raw anytime. It was just fun.
Yeah, it was definitely a great, great time. And you know what made it even better?
What's that?
Great company.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no Byron Saxton.
Oh, well, that too.
No Michael Cole.
That's always a plus.
Yeah.
And not have to listen to Michael Cole blabber on and on and on about nothing.
Hey, there's been talk about Michael Cole wanting to possibly retire from announcing.
That couldn't come soon enough.
Yeah, but Saxton, oh. The best part about Byron Saxton is
And Corey Graves?
Yeah.
What? That's just... Corey Graves sucks.
Well, he's also doing... Corey Graves not only does Raw, but does 205 Live. With Austin Aries and
stuff. Tell me about 205 Live. You keep mentioning this.
205 Live is a result of what happened as that cruiserweight tournament.
Okay.
So the weight limit is 205. So they call it 205 Live. I think they do it at the end of SmackDown Live. And they just change the announce teams and bring on the cruiserweights after the main event for SmackDown. I think that's how they do it. Don't quote me on that one, but I haven't seen a lot of interest in the cruiserweights. When they bring on what's going on Monday Night Raw, when they come, I see the crowd just kind of, they get a little pop for Rich Swann, who was the former champion.
A little pop for, pretty good pop for Neville.
Yeah, Neville gets a good pop, but everybody else, I don't know why.
Because nobody knows who they are.
That's probably it. That's probably it. Cedric Alexander, who we saw tonight, was in ROH for a long time, and he's a really good
performer. A lot of, when they did that tournament, a lot of those guys were from, like, Evolve and people we'd never seen before.
And that's kind of like what's going on with this this British program they're going to be putting on, too. Nigel McGuinness is the one from ROH that went over the ROH cut. I think we were talking about it on the way down. They've brought over a couple of British performers. Did you see the Jack Gallagher in the Royal Rumble, the one with the umbrella?
Yeah, what was up with him? He looked like a James Ellsworth knockoff.
Yeah, he's kind of thin, and he brings that umbrella, and he got it into Chris Jericho's...
He got it right in the ding-ding!
Right in the ding.
Just grabbed him in the ding-ding! He just got him in the ding-ding!
I mean, he gets a pretty good pop on some of the programming he's on, but I don't know.
Him and Sheamus should have a competition.
Oh, for the worst tan?
Yes.
Yeah. And then bring Paige in, too, you know?
Yes. So Paige is the special guest referee.
There is no pigmentation in all three of these people. So, overall, I just... And it was
a good company. Do you think it would still be Paige's house, though?
I think the WWE has taken her house by now, so... I don't know if she's
not her house anymore.
No, I don't know if she's still with Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, they're going to the chapel.
Going
to get married.
So that brings up a subject that we talked about, what we saw at the big WWE live event. You and I, at times, we were talking about Total Divas and Total Bellas. Now, Total Bellas is available now on the network. Total Divas this season, I think, is still on ETV. And Paige is involved with that. Also, Renee Young, the Bellas, and Dean Ambrose, and Lana, Rusev, and Natalie Neidhart. And the Total Bellas show, you were asking me a little bit about that. And I highly recommend watching Total Bellas, not because of the catfighting and all that, but the stuff going on with Daniel Bryan. Juice and I have talked about that on the pod a few times, and if you get a chance, you ought to watch one or two of those episodes, because that is fascinating television. But the Total Divas, they are in this season, they're dealing with Paige, and her relationship with Del Rio, and the injuries and her not feeling like she was, you know, being treated right with the WWE. They're dealing with that, and that some of the backstage stuff. That to me is the reason to watch either the Total Divas or the Total Bella Show. Is the backstage stuff that we don't get to see a lot, the politics, the setting up storylines.
I think Juice would disagree with you. He watches it for the storylines and the cat fighting.
He's also a fan of The Bachelor. Did you hear that? He follows The Bachelor.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Especially Juice. Hey, Ajay, we still love you. But I usually don't like reality-based shows or so-called reality shows. But if you get a chance, you might want to check that out. So anything else you want to bring up?
No.
Concessions. I thought the t-shirt prices were in line with regular events that you go to. I mean, not much more than what you would pay online. $35 basically, yeah, for a t-shirt.
How many people do you think were there?
I'd say around 4,000, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would imagine so. There was more there than that last event I went to.
So that's good. We talked to quite a few people while we were there, so...
Do you think they could pack the house if they brought a Raw to Salt Lake?
You know, if they did it at the Maverick Center, probably. I don't think they could do it at the... what do they call it now? The Vivint Smart Home Arena. Used to be the Delta Center where the Jazz play. Yeah. I don't think it would sell out there. I don't think it would play well there.
No, the Delta Center would be a terrible place for a Raw. That would be awful.
It is a terrible place for a concert, by the way. I will not go to a concert in that place anymore. But, the crowd, this is not a big wrestling hotbed, Salt Lake City, Utah. You got to admit that.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I wish I would have gone to that. There was last year when I was in, I guess it was still last year. When I was in Las Vegas, there was a WWE Live event just down the street from where I was staying. That was when Natty got her teeth knocked out.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I guess all she got for Christmas was her two front teeth.
Oh, I think they deal with that on Total Divas, by the way.
But yeah, that was right down the street from me, and I wonder if in a place like that, how a live event would pan out.
I think they've done some in Las Vegas. That's where CM Punk did the pipe bomb, if I'm not mistaken. He did it in Las Vegas. So I think Las Vegas is, you know, with the tourist base and you've got a lot of different promotions that do stuff down in Vegas. Paragon Pro. ROH is going to be there in March doing their 15th anniversary show. There's also talk, and you know where the Rio is, just off the strip. Now, I don't know where this is going. The last I heard, they were still building it. They're building an arena for shows every night.
Oh, wow.
The franchise. The franchise. I'm just drawing a blank now. I don't want to mess the franchise. He was in ECW. You also saw him a little bit in WCW. Shane Douglas. He's involved with it. And I'm thinking Jake the Snake is involved with it just a little bit. But the last word I read on it, this was about 6 months ago, that they were hopeful maybe to have that going as a small arena right next to the Rio, part of the Rio, and maybe doing it every night.
Wow.
You know, having a show every night or just every night. I bet it probably would be 250, you know, to 1,000 seats, if that much.
Well, you know, it makes me wonder, I know we've talked many times about how we wish that there was things that was closer, but how fun would it be to go see an NXT taping is NXT live or do they tape those?
I think they're taped, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
I know, and Impact is taped, right?
Impact is taped well in advance, so I think they do 4 or 5 months in advance on Impact.
Yeah, they're in Orlando, right?
Right, they're in Orlando. But here in Utah, I mean, we've got a couple of small independents, that's about it, and then when the WWE comes through once or twice
NXT
a year.
NXT is Full Sail University, where's that?
That's in Florida.
Okay.
And That campus is huge. They do a lot of film work. They do a lot of people, you know, doing set design. Full Sail University is a huge, huge campus. So.
And then Lucha is filmed in California, right?
In California. Marty the Moth, Martin Casals, friend of the show. What a great guy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They tape, I think, 3 and 4 days. We'll try to get a couple of shows in. You know, they do that every once in a while. They're on, I don't call it hiatus. They're just in between the first and second half of their seasons right now. They do seasons. They don't do continuous shows. And I'm hoping that doesn't hurt them. Yeah. They just announced that they're going to be available on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't have Netflix, but I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I hope they stay on El Rey. Then you've got TNA. Well, don't call it a TNA. It's just Impact. And I think since this Dixie Carter ownership mess is pretty much out of the way, you can see them possibly making more of an impact to not be, not
and,
to be too bad.
And so that's what Hogan wanted to do, was drop the TNA name.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let him.
This company, I believe, is out of Canada, if I'm not mistaken. And don't quote me on that, because I'm just doing this from what little memory I have left. The 70s were rough on me.
You know, and my memory is the second shortest thing I own, so you're in bad company.
Ba-dum-bum. So, this is a family show, remember? So, he's talking about his pinky. How did you damaged your hand one time, didn't you?
A couple times.
Oh, man, that's a lot of fun. But anyway, I like what's going on Impact. I know some people don't, but it's just, we've talked about it. This is a great time because of the internet, because of the Fight TV app, because of YouTube. If you are any kind of a fan, you can find some pretty good wrestling. And I don't want to call it sports entertainment like the guys in WWE. I want to call it professional wrestling.
You know, but let me bring you up a question, and you can give me your opinion on it. And I am going totally off subject here, but hey, I'm tired. We're talking, we're driving, so I'm trying to stay awake. So
yeah, it's okay.
One thing that I've always had a hard time with, I love to watch WWE and NXT because of their. You're in this industry, so maybe you could correct me if I'm using the wrong terms, but their production value.
Yes.
The lights, the cameras, you know, the way the cameras move around and you know, it looks real. I mean,
there's an art to that.
And I don't, sometimes I just have a hard time watching, like, ROH or some of the indies and some of the YouTube programs, because it's just, I mean, it's you know, hey, what are you doing tonight? Nothing, gonna sit home and play Xbox. Wanna come hold a camera? And, you know.
And a lot of it is that way.
And strap this fluorescent lamp to your head, too, to get us some little extra light, you know. And I guess you know, and they got to do what they got to do to make a buck or two. I mean, you know, they're struggling to get by just like everybody else. But sometimes I have a hard time watching programming that's not, the production value is not there.
Well, that's a really good point, because we get back to everything costs money to get the good cameras, to get the good costuming. You know, these guys, they put out an incredible amount of time into their look. Neville comes out, you know, he doesn't have the bright tights anymore. They're darker colors because he's got a darker character now, which I like. I've always said that, but especially on the women's side, they put a lot into their look, and they also do that with the men. They have a total backstage area that does nothing but work with their costume, with their tights and everything.
Aren't they responsible to purchase their own costuming?
I I don't know that for a fact. I know in, you know, probably in the smaller arenas, they have to come up with their own gear and everything. That's some of the things you'll, when you watch Total Divas, they'll talk about that a little bit. They'll go and say, well, I need a new look. And Natty, when she was doing this heel turn, she was all concerned that she almost wanted to dye her hair black, and they talked her out of that. That's the kind of stuff that the Total Divas, and you might enjoy that aspect of it. But everything costs money, and that's what Full Sail University is doing. It's training the cameraman, and then the camera work that you have for W, that's part of the crew. It's not local guys.
Yeah.
So presentation is a huge thing in the entertainment industry. Now, as people know, I work in radio. Presentation of the radio product is also very important. If you've ever heard people get on there and say, there's a Happy Days segment where Richie becomes a disc jockey back in Happy Days. And he does this, he goes, I'm going to start off this hour's music with a record. And that's a bad presentation. But presentation is everything when it comes to entertainment.
And I've caught bits and pieces of the Stone Cold podcast when he's had different people on there, and he's talked about that before too, in like ROH, how he's like, they need to get some more lighting in there, they need to get some better cameras, and I don't know, you watch ROH, I don't watch it.
Well, I'll go back to one of my favorites, but least favorites, when he does podcast, is Jimmy Cornette. He was involved in the early days of ROH, and he talks about he wanted them to have a situation where they had one location, and they set up the cameras right, they set up lighting right, and they would always be from that one location, kind of like the old ECW, the old wrestling from Texas with the Von Erichs. They always were at the Sportatorium, Mid-South Coliseum with the Mid-South Wrestling. They knew what they were doing there. They didn't have to go on the road and reset and try to make everything right. And that might be one of the difficulties you see. When TNA did their tag team Apocalypto piece of garbage that they did, the lighting was awful. It was not good. But that was a really good question. Everything deals with money. I mean, to get the right camera, cameras and everything.
And what I'm going to do is, I think I've mentioned this before, but I'd like to get a hold of our friend from the show, the MK Bandit. He works with, I believe it's Destiny Wrestling Organization.
Uh-huh.
He works with him. He's in Texas a lot.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk. We'll have to get him back on the show, and because that's one thing about Turnbuckle Trash is we're not just gonna sit and complain about the WWE and how they need to do this better and that better. I mean, because we would like to understand what is professional wrestling and what is it all about.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we say it's, from a fan's perspective, we don't profess to be experts. We are fans. We're marks.
Yes.
I just put it right out there, and I think that's one thing. And when we see, some of the local performers that we saw tonight, Uncle Jasper and some of those.
Andrew Sowell.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much fun to see these. But we are marks, we are fans, we know what's going on. But the storytelling, the professionalism, and the way they do things that make us get that little sense of, wow, that had to hurt. Like tonight with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, when the chairs came out. Mm-hmm. They were whacking each other on the back with the chairs because they've outlawed the headshots in the WWE. But there was one time when Kevin Owens threw a chair on Sami Zayn when Sami was on the mat. Just threw it on top of him. Well, we just went through a bunch of water, but we're fine. It's melting. We've had a really bad winter here, and now it's like 50 degrees outside, so we've got water on the roadways here. But that's neither here nor there, but we're talking about being fans. I think that's one of the difference of our podcast and some of the others that profess to be like they know everything.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've enjoyed is we're not just going to complain. It's not just about the WWE. It's not just about the indies. It's not just... It's professional wrestling as a whole. What is it?
Yeah. And so. It's storytelling. It's entertainment. It's athleticism. It ain't Shakespeare, but what was Shakespeare doing? They were doing a live play. You know, live plays, they're fake.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. So I think that I'm hoping that we're growing a little bit on our Turnbuckle Trash podcast, whatever. We have fun with it.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was a great event in Salt Lake City. I hope you've enjoyed our different way of doing this. We've been recording this inside my car on the way down. On the road again.
On the road to the road to WrestleMania.
And now we're on the road home from the on the road to WrestleMania.
The road home from the road to WrestleMania.
I got a headache. Let's wrap this thing up. Hopefully you guys had a good time with it as we did. Spread the word. Join us on social media. We're trying to grow this thing, and we've had some great comments from people. We just appreciate any kind of comment at all.
I'll shout out to Chris, my brother.
The one I did that little podcast with the other day.
Chris.
The original Trashhead.
Chris, you're the best.
Yeah, we appreciate Kelly, all the guys that listen to us, Junkie Larry, Ajay, who couldn't be with us tonight. We're doing this because we love professional wrestling. We're not making a penny off this thing, but it is fun.
It's a good time.
It's a good time had by all. Thanks a lot for joining us. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!